Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I don't know what it was like for you when you possibly went to your church gathering this last Sunday, but for those that are in Columbus, Indiana, it was pretty interesting because of what they saw graffitied on the walls of their church. Take a look at this.
Police are combing through surveillance video tonight to track down the person behind a crime spree targeting churches. Good evening. I'm Naomi Peskovitz in for Jenny Renovich. Three churches were vandalized in one night in Columbus. Now detectives there are investigating and trying to figure out if this is just a harmless prank or something much more. The Night Beat's Emily Longnecker explains why the graffiti has some churchgoers very concerned beyond just what they left behind.
Well, Columbus police say they've never had anything like this. Three churches vandalized in one night, spray painted. It's the words that were spray painted, though, that have some people asking, is this more than a prank?
It was just one word that said, infidels, exclamation point.
That's what parishioners saw on their way into church Sunday morning at St. Bartholomew's in Columbus, along with the word Quran and a chapter and verse number.
It's certainly not a warm and fuzzy verse. I mean, it talks about the infidels, their refuge being the fire.
St. Bartholomew's wasn't the only Columbus church vandalized overnight.
It's very bizarre in the fact that they hit two other Christian churches, and it's not like we're all in a line. I mean, so it's, you know, why did they pick the three of us?
Outside East Columbus Christian Church and Lakeview Church of Christ, members there found the same kind of graffiti Sunday morning.
Is there somebody that really believes this, you know, that believes that we're all infidels, and so they felt the need that they needed to write it all over our church? Is this some sort of really nasty prank? Is this someone that's trying to incite people against Muslims? I mean, I don't know. You just have so few to go on.
Columbus police say they're looking at surveillance video to help figure it out. Until they do, though, parishioners at St. Bartholomew's are unsettled by the defacing of their church, at the very least.
There's a lot of bad stuff being done in the name of Allah, and so when people see this happening in Columbus, whether that was truly the person's intent or there's something else going on, it makes people nervous, it makes people upset, it makes them scared.
Columbus police wouldn't comment on whether they had contacted federal authorities because of the nature of the vandalism. The priests here, though, at St. Bartholomew's say they've been contacted by local leaders in the Muslim community who have not only condemned this, but offered to help clean up the graffiti. In Columbus, Emily Longnecker, Channel 13, Eyewitness News.
That is exactly what they went into in Columbus, Indiana, when they went to church on Sunday. And I thought it was pretty interesting to hear some of the things that this pastor was talking about. But first, let's just find out what does the Quran say about these, you know, remember, 81% of Christians in America, even though they have 4-point-some-odd Bibles each, don't pick them up.
That's right.
And which means you know that they don't pick up the Quran.
Right.
Even though Thomas Jefferson asked America to read it so we could understand our adversary who was trying to come against America at that particular time. But two of the particular verses in the Quran that was up, the one particular one that was up, I believe that you have that one right here. You can put that one up. But this is what it says. This is what was spray painted on the side of a church, I perceive a Christian church there in Indiana. Yes. It says, you know, we will cast terror. This is very important because understand the only thing the devil has on his side is fear. And we had a president that once said, you know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. That is a very biblically correct statement, because Job, for example, he's, you know, he feared this would happen and he feared that would happen. And the word of God says what he feared would happen came upon him, because fear is like faith in the opposite direction, because you can specifically, if you, whatever you fear, you pretty well have defined it so specifically that you really bring it to pass in your life. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to be able to take people who are held captive by him and to terrorize you. I mean, this can happen in a marriage. You know, this can happen in a family. This can happen in a community. This can happen in a church gathering. There can be somebody held captive in there, and when this person comes into the gathering, everybody's like, "Oh my goodness, they're here!" And everybody's on the edge. You know what I'm saying? And it's like that's how the devil's present when you got that terror type thing going on. And so it's just basically, you know, they're spilling their beans. They're going, "Listen, this is what this particular verse that you see up right there is in the Quran. It says, we will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve." And he's not talking about disbelieve in Jesus Christ. He's talking about disbelieve in Muhammad, and that Allah is God, and that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And he has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And that's what they're saying, that those that don't believe that way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, I don't believe that way of thinking. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only way to God. There is no other way except through him. And every other way, Jesus said, is a thief and a robber.
That's right.
So you put yourself in a robber or a thief's category when you say there's another way to God. And it says, you know, this 3:151 says, you know, we will cast terror in the hearts of those who disbelieve for what they have associated with Allah, of which he had not sent down any authority. In other words, they're just associating things. And, you know, I'm sure they probably think that we're associating things with him. But what we're doing, we're just comparing the Bible with the Quran and what's being said. And he says, and their refuge will be the fire, and wretched is the residence of this wrongdoer. And it's really interesting because the Quran quite often is the antithesis of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing take place with leadership today is like, you said up, but you're the one that's, you know, you this accusation is the opposite of what you are. And it's like, man, this is like the antithesis of what really mm-hmm. is. And these tactics called, you know, we talk about the rules for radicals and the Alinsky methodology, but they give that credit to Lucifer anyway, being the first one to do it, which is basically these kind of tactics that put terror in someone. But this was spray painted on the side of their building. Mm. And if you've been with us for our whole journey, you would have heard, we would have said, you know, these days are going to come. The day's going to come, and there's going to be a filtration of those who say yes and really mean yes. Mm-hmm. And if someone tells you, you know, Jesus says if they leave you, well, the word of God says if they leave you, they never were a part of you anyway. And, Paul talks about, you know, believing in vain. But when persecution comes because of the word, when persecution comes because of your walk with Jesus, because the manifestation of the awesomeness of God happens, you know, around you, then at that point, you know, terror will be struck in the hearts by those that are held captive. They'll be immediately, like when you think about Peter, and when the guy was healed at the Gate Beautiful, I mean, this guy got healed. I mean, you know, that's exciting. What happened? Well, the religious folks locked them up and put them in jail and tried to create terror. They said, don't you ever speak in the name of Jesus again. Don't ever speak in the name of Jesus again. That's what they told them. Then they let him go, and they said, you know, we're going to speak in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And so when you see stuff like this, that's just saying, my goodness, you can almost think like, wow, I got identified with Jesus. We got identified as followers of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This is exciting.
Yeah. Rejoice.
Rejoice. And I thought it was pretty interesting too, because another particular scripture or another verse of the Quran they had up was 1989, where it says, you have done an atrocious thing. You know, and so it's like, aren't you the ones doing atrocious things? Didn't the radicals just behead children and shoot the little girl in the head because she wouldn't renounce her faith? Didn't you just rush people to the top of the mountain and starve them to death and do these terrible things? Didn't you just fire missiles one after another inside of Israel? One after another, after another, after another, with one of them could have been a nuclear material in one of those missiles, and it would have just mm-hmm. annihilated Israel. And that's atrocious. But so don't buy in. When you hear this kind of stuff, it's just the enemy's trying to provoke fear. And you have nothing to fear but fear itself. And as Christians, you have to remember that Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have troubles. He says, but cheer up, I've overcome this life. As a believer, for you to die, and you got to, you know, go back and listen to some of the segments about heaven and, you know, all these wonderful things God has in store for those who are his. But know this, there really is nothing to fear. I think the biggest concern that we should have as believers is, will we leave this earth and enter into the presence of God with poured out like a drink offering with nothing left, that we would lay everything down for him, because we're going to spend eternity, you know, wishing we would have, or that we did. It's like, I had nothing left that I knew of. I gave everything. I've done everything. I took nothing off the court called earth. And that's our, that should be our fear in the context of that, but not the other fear, because to die is the gain. It's just to gain, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you that, know that we've talked about this. We, you know, Cornerstone Church, John Hagee's church. We've talked about that when all of a sudden their church was infiltrated. We just talked about the prophecy that was written 20 years ago that's coming to pass now with a harvest written by Rick Joyner. These things are going to begin to happen. And what it's going to do is just going to help us to rethink church. We need to really rethink it. We need to really rethink it, because, and what I'm saying is, get back into the Word of God and find out what God says the church is. Because quite often you might have somebody weeping over something we called the church, but it was nothing but men's traditions and philosophies, and you know, it depends on the ways of this world. But we found out in other parts of the world, which is 95% of the world's population other than America, is that if you really want to affect people with the kingdom of God, is don't bring America's practices there. Don't have them build buildings. You know, have it be relational. You know, have it be a family oriented. Don't inject too much of your stuff in there. And when that happens, it's like, it's very successful. And we just got to take our own advice and the missionaries' advice that we send out there.
Right.
So I just want, you know, I wanted to let you see that just happened this Sunday. You know, prepare yourself for this. I encourage you, hopefully this week we'll be talking about prudent preparation. There is going to be some physical things take place inside of America. I mean, it's kind of naive to think it wouldn't. Just like my daughter said, oh, well, I mean, if we keep poking the world, we keep negotiating with darkness, we keep turning our backs on God's original intent for this nation and God, I mean, something's going to go down that, you know, is going to get our attention. And so be prepared for it. Have a plan. Have a plan with your church gathering. You know, sit with your leadership and just talk about, you know, what will we do if this happened? What will we do if that happened? What are we preaching? What are we teaching to our folks, God's folks? What are we teaching to them that they're shocked that this kind of thing would happen? Are we teaching naivety? Are we teaching great business concepts and ideas and motivational, you know, speeches while we're not preparing them for what Jesus said? He said that I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. You know, be as gentle as doves, but be as wise as snakes. You know, in other words, be very strategic in what you're doing. He says, watch out for men. It's almost like we preach this naivety, this naive gospel that says, hey, nothing's going to happen. Nothing bad's going to happen. And if that's true, then that means that what are we doing wrong? What, I mean, we're not asking for trouble, but the whole thing is, if Jesus had trouble when he followed the Father and he says he's the teacher and the student won't be treated any better, how come maybe we're not following the Father? Maybe we're not picking up our Bibles. Maybe we're part of the 81%. Maybe we're depending on some man or some woman to be able to tell us what God's word says. I mean, of course we didn't know what the Quran said, but the question is, do we even know what the Bible says? The Bible says, anyone who does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God is of the Antichrist, anti-Jesus Christ. And that is Islam. Islam, Muhammad, the Quran is anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. He's not the Son of God, they say. And that he has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. But yet they, quote, respect him as a prophet. Ain't gonna work. He's the Son of God, and he's the only way to God. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.